Spring is in the air, and it's the season for growth and new experiences in your career. Explore the country with rewarding travel assignments through Arias Medical Group. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's ariusmedical.com.
This is the PT Pintcast. A podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. Still at CSM 2017. And we are at, Global Health Party right now? Is that where we're at?
Global Health Reception,
yeah. Global Health Reception. It sounds fancy when you call a reception. Well, let's talk about our next guest. Third-year PT student at the Mayo Clinic School of Health Sciences, Rochester, Minnesota. Graduated with a degree in kinesiology and health from Iowa State University. Taught English in Indonesia through the Fulbright program the year prior to PT school, and while studying abroad in New Zealand, she hitched a ride on a train. Hitchhiked on a train?
Yep.
We'll get to that. Also, whether a third-year PT student at Boston University, which is ironically in Boston, Massachusetts, BS in kinesiology from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, served as an education volunteer in the Peace Corps in Burkina Faso, no idea where that is, from 2012 to 2014, and while serving in Burkina Faso, took a 24-hour bus trip with no bathrooms on the bus to the coast of Ghana just to see the ocean for a few days. Welcome to PT Pintcast. This is Kelsey Miller and Christina Lee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so first off, hardest question, what are we drinking?
Well, I am being my classy self and drinking a lovely Chardonnay.
Gotta fly the pinky, though, when you're holding a glass of wine.
Course.
There you go. Kelsey, where'd your beer go?
It's gone. I was drinking a Corona. It was fabulous.
All right, well, we'll let you slide.
I'll get another one after this is over.
All right, so we've got to start with this. Hitchhiked a ride on a train. How do you hitchhike on a train?
You try to hitchhike a ride in a car, and you fail, so the train stops and picks you up.
Okay.
It just happened to work out that way.
Were you hanging on the train, or did you get to ride on the inside of the train?
Inside of the train, we sat up with the train engineer, conductor. It was a freight train loading up at
gotcha.
A factory.
And so you were technically a hobo.
For a couple of days.
All right. I like it very much. And where is Burkina Faso?
Burkina Faso is in West Africa.
Holy crap. I actually said it right?
You were really close.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I like how you were nice about it. So where is that?
It's in West Africa. It's kind of landlocked in the middle of West Africa, south of Mali and north of Ghana. So I ended up on my 24-hour bus ride.
It doesn't sound fun.
It was not fun, but I grew up on Cape Cod, which is a beach community, and I could not spend 27 months in West Africa without getting to the beach once.
At least once.
So I had to do it.
On a bus for 24 hours.
Yep. Yes.
Sounds rough. Well, hey guys, appreciate you being on the show and letting us come to the reception here for Global Health. So what are we talking about? Global Health and PT, what's currently available for students and clinicians? How can they get involved in Global Health as a physical therapist?
Kelsey and I have both been involved with the Global Outreach Project Committee for a few years now. It's a project committee that's part of the Student Assembly. I was the chair last year, and Kelsey is going to be filling my shoes as the chair this year.
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
She did a great job.
Thank you. One of our goals as a committee is to make resources available to students so that they can become more involved in global health. So one of our big projects last year was to create an international service manual for students who want to go on trips abroad. And our goal was to really create a manual full of resources to help students do it ethically and sustainably and have a great time while they do it as well.
So I want to go to Costa Rica, and this manual is going to show me how, if I want to start my own trip or if I just want to go by myself, what's the best ways to do it?
It kind of gives you information on what you're looking for in a global project that you want to go on or a global service trip. And so we kind of highlight, like, this is some sustainable trips. This is what you're looking for, making sure it has reflection. And
so trips that already exist, companies that already do this, or
yes,
organizations
and no.
that do this?
We also talk about a needs assessment, and Christina really worked on that part, so you could talk to more about that. If you do start your own trip, how to do it sustainably and respect the local culture that you're going into.
Okay. Why should someone go on a service trip? You guys have done international stuff before. Why should someone as a PT, you guys are students, why should someone as a PT student or as a PT, why should we go abroad and do this thing called PT?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
There is so much that you can learn when you're working and learning abroad that you may not be exposed to studying and doing clinicals here in the U.S.
A lot you're going to miss out on, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of having to work with people where you may not speak their language, where you may not be familiar with their culture, where you may not have the same resources available that we have here, and really having to up the ante with your clinical reasoning skills.
And wing it.
And wing it,
and
exactly.
Wing it. And put your big boy pants on, put your big girl pants on, figure something out. I mean, I did a trip to Costa Rica. I don't know if I was prepared for what we got into, but my classmates really brought their A game. I brought my B-plus game, but they brought their A game and really were able to do some amazing things for 2 weeks, you know, in a situation like that. So you're right. All the things you're saying, I agree with, because I've been on that trip. But I think a lot of people miss out on that, and I think that's unfortunate because I got a lot out of it. My classmates and I got a ton out of it. What do you think?
Well, I think what people don't understand is it's more than just like that week or two that you're abroad. There's so much that you take going into that you learn, and you're not just there to help. And this was like a global health talk we went to yesterday morning, and it's like, what's the difference between charity and social justice?
Who else worked with you on this project? Who do you want to name drop who helped?
Yes, other students. There was the Global Health Project Committee of 2015, and to be totally honest with you, I could not name everybody's name because we worked in two separate subcommittees that year. Kelsey,
and you've been drinking. That's okay. Blame it on the
It's been a two-year project.
Right.
Okay.
So the first year, we were both members. We were not in charge, so we don't know everybody. But April Farhardo and...
I know April. April's been on the show.
Josh Greenswig.
April twerked while she was on the show. So bar is set high.
Is set high, but I do twerk quite well, so that may happen. So they led the first version of this manual, and then in 2016, Kelsey and I, along with a group of seven other people, Tessa Comstock, Monica Lee, Randy Kaw, Rachel Buckner, Ashley Alagna, and the two of us. So that makes the seven of us, plus Ryan Madry, who was our liaison to the student assembly.
Loves bow ties.
Exactly.
Yes. Ryan loves bow ties.
He rocks them.
You'd recognize him anyway.
So you guys pretty much were building on this for a year or two.
Yes.
So it's a labor of love.
Absolutely.
For many people, I should say.
Yeah.
Sustainability and ethics. That's something you guys kind of brought up earlier. I was talking with, I don't know if you know these guys or know of the project, Stand for Haiti. Justin Dunaway and Morgan Denny, who are trying to build a sustainable program to stay functioning long after they've gone from Haiti. So they go to Haiti 3 to 4 times a year at the clinic. Sustainability is actually something that I think you touched on. It's not about just going for 2 weeks and what you're going to do there and then you leave and then nothing's left behind. So what does sustainability mean for you guys?
Leaving a lasting impact. I think not just going in and doing something and leaving, but empowering the community, the host community, them to get involved in their own care, their own progression, and making it last longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that for a patient here in the United States. I want you to be involved in your own care, and if you're not, this is not going to work.
It's a global concept. It doesn't just apply to service drugs.
Yeah, but we're talking about patient care, but you're talking about programs, too. I mean, they should be applied for both. I think that both are just as important as you're saying.
Yeah. What we found when we were doing a lot of research for this was that there are really two working definitions of sustainability in the world of global health right now. One being that a program can continue to operate with the continued assistance of foreign aid, and the other definition being that the program can continue to operate once the foreign aid is removed. And we both really felt like the second definition felt fit much more with our ethical examination of this topic, and that we really wanted to encourage students to work more with programs that are focused on allowing programs to sustain themselves beyond the time that Americans or foreigners are in their community.
Don't give them a fish. Teach them how to fish.
Exactly.
And I don't want to like wrap it up with a little bow on it, but I just wrapped it up with a little bow on it. But what about ethics? We talk about sustainability. How about ethics?
It comes in with like respecting the local community, the westernization and coming in and thinking everything that we do is right. Obviously, the communities are going to have their own local practices and own beliefs, and kind of tying that into what we know as best practice. And that only happens with communication. There was a TED Talk about a community with hippos. Who was talking about that? Cheryl Flitter.
Were they hungry?
No, but it was about, and I'm sorry, I couldn't tell you a TED Talk because I just got this little snippet.
That's okay.
But there was this lush, beautiful green valley.
I can picture it.
And so some foreign workers came in that were ag people, and they were like, why haven't the locals been planting these crops? And so they planted crops, and right before they were about to be harvested, hippos came in.
Destroyed everything.
Destroyed all of them. And the local village was like, you would have asked us.
Hey, we're not idiots. We've been here for a while.
Yeah.
That's where the hippos hang out. They're hungry.
So that really resonated with us. Yes. And it's just like, you need that communication piece, and that's how you can help a community. Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do three questions from our sponsors, RES Medical Staffing. We want to talk about the purpose of the manual and how students can apply it, how clinicians can apply it directly, because making a manual is great, but if I can't use it, or if I don't know how to use it, it doesn't really do any good. So we'll talk about that when we come back on the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
We got 23 five-star ratings and 1 3-star rating. Hey, we can't be perfect all the time. Give us a rating and review on iTunes so we can print them out and hang them on our fridge. This is the PT Pinecast.
Spring is in the air. It's the season for growth and new experiences in your physical therapy career. Explore the country with healthcare staffing agency, Aureus Medical Group. You'll find rewarding travel and full-time career opportunities nationwide. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To speak with a recruiter, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit aureusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
Do you treat patients with chronic pain, recurring sports injuries, or posture issues? Then check out Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Stickier, stretchier,
and superior to competing tapes. Rock Tape stays on through any activity
for up to 7 days.
Physical therapists qualify for medical pricing. Get started at rocktape.com/start. Rock Tape also offers CEUs nationwide, so you can learn how to use the world's best tape
with cutting-edge, evidence-informed techniques
while earning the continuing education credits you need.
Get started at rocktape.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. And we're back on the PT Pinecast with Kelsey Miller and Christina Lee. We're talking global health. We're at the Global Health... What was it called again? Not the Global Health Party or Kegger.
Reception.
Sorry, reception. Sounds way classier.
It looks classier.
It does look classier. So, three questions from our sponsors, Aureus. Number one, I know you guys travel the world, but Aureus can place you working as a PT anywhere in the U.S. So, besides where you guys have worked or lived so far, where is somewhere in the United States that you would want to go and work as a PT, Christina?
That is a really tough question. I feel like I could go anywhere and learn something new. But lately, we've been having a lot of snow and sleet in Boston.
Yeah, get out.
So I'm going to have to say Hawaii.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Number one answer so far for playing Family Feud. That's the most common answer.
Oh, boy.
So no pressure. You can't use Hawaii.
It's okay. I wasn't going to.
Okay, good. What do you got for me, Kelsey?
So I'm from the Midwest. I'm originally from Iowa. I go to school in Minnesota. And I think it'd be fun to go west because I haven't ventured that. I mean, been to California, been to Colorado, Washington. But there's so much of the world over there and outdoorsy things to do and change of scenery.
So where are you going to go? You got to pick one.
Oh, I have to pick a state?
Yes. You can do it.
I can't do it.
You can. We're not moving on.
Okay, Colorado.
There you go.
We'll try Colorado.
Good, got it. Second question. What's something that you've read recently that really inspired you?
So I must admit I'm only one chapter into it.
Okay.
But I am reading one of Gloria Steinem's autobiographies, My Life on the Road, and it's about the importance of domestic travel, so travel within the U.S., to developing yourself as a person. And that has really resonated with me because I've done a lot of international travel, but I haven't traveled as much within the U.S., and I'm really trying to get the ball rolling with that. So it's been really cool to read about her experiences.
I like it. Kelsey, what do you got?
I just finished reading Wild.
What's it about?
It's about a lady who hikes the Pacific Crest Trail on her own.
Cool. I like it. Third question. Who's somebody within, we'll get specific for you guys, who's someone within the physical therapy profession, within global health, that the audience should be paying more attention to? Maybe someone who's doing great things within global health and PT that's flying under the radar.
Can it be an organization or does it have to be a
person?
Yeah,
no, we'll let you.
Okay. So I've been really into the Global Women's Health Initiative lately. It's a group of women's health PTs who do a lot of work for women who have experienced pelvic trauma, especially obstetric fistula, but also female genital mutilation all around the world, particularly in Africa and the Middle East. And they're just doing phenomenal work on a shoestring budget, and they're incredibly inspiring.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Didn't think we were going to get the word fistula out of this interview, but we did. We did. Kelsey, who should we pay more attention to, a person, or we'll let it go open to an organization?
Can I say students?
Yeah.
I think students have so much
just
energy and are so excited.
Okay.
Well, students that are seeking to find these opportunities.
Okay.
And I think, like, again, as we keep saying, we're the future, and we want to...
Teach them just, well. Let them lead the way.
Yeah.
Show them all the beauty that you possess inside.
There we go.
I like it. All right, so that's three questions right there. Let's get back to global health and the manual that you guys created. The purpose, how does someone use it? Where do they find it? Let's get to the nitty-gritty.
So it is on the Global Health SIG website right now. It is even available to non-members. You don't have to be a member of the SIG to access it. So if you go to their main page and just scroll about halfway down under the word resources, there's a link to it.
It's on the Global Health
SIG, the Global SIG Health Special Interest Group website.
On the APTA website?
Yep, through the HPA Catalyst section.
Gotcha. Okay. And then how is someone going to apply this?
You can use it in multiple ways. We have several sections broken up into like sustainability and ethics, what to look for, what to do when you come home, just general definitions of what service learning is versus like international service. And so you can kind of go section by section. Like, this is information
gotcha.
That I'm looking for. We also, one of my favorite parts is we have reflection questions. It's so important. Reverse culture shock can be sometimes even more difficult than culture shock. And to share your experience
with people.
Wait,
what's the difference? So culture shock is going somewhere and not being used to the culture, I'm guessing? Or, I mean, that what culture shock is?
Yeah,
what's reverse culture shock then?
When you come home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Aren't you just happy and you put your feet up and you go to, you know, McDonald's?
If only it was that easy.
Right?
Well, you've had these experiences that people at home haven't had. And you can sometimes they think of you as the person you left. Like, we both went on long service trips.
Well, and how long was long for both of you?
I was gone for 2 years.
Oh, that's long.
And I was gone for about 9 months.
Good. I was gone for 2 weeks. I thought that was long.
Yeah.
And I had no Wi-Fi when I was there. So that really rocked my world.
I had no Wi-Fi for the whole 2 years.
Jeez.
And so I'll give you an example of reverse culture shock. When I first came home the next day, I didn't have a cell phone. So my mom took me to the Verizon store and I just broke down sobbing, looking at the price of the phones. And I just said to my mom, my village could eat for a week for the price that this phone is costing. I can't even do this. So I had to walk out of the store and have my mom pick out my phone at like 26 years old because I just like, I couldn't handle the culture shock. I had forgotten how expensive things were and how different the lifestyle was. You just get so used to living one way that to come back and have to reverse that and be expected to kind of go right back into your normal routine is really challenging, and people are often ill-prepared for that.
Well, let's go this direction. What's a story you tell to people to let them know what you kind of experienced when you were overseas? So you were in Africa.
Yes.
You were in New Zealand.
New Zealand for a semester. I was in Indonesia for 9 months.
Okay. So what's something that you tell the people to kind of like clue them in on what you actually experienced?
Well, I think it depends. Like, people always ask, like, how was your trip? And that's such a hard question to answer. Like, do you want the short version? Do you want the long version? How interested are you? And so you kind of tailor it to what they're looking for. Like, oh, it was good. I had fun. It was hot. I loved the community I was in.
All right. So longer than it was hot or it was good, but shorter than, you know, 6 book chapters. What do you tell them?
I tell them it was really challenging at times, but also really rewarding. I loved becoming a part of their community, and I felt like they were very receptive to that.
Okay.
And so I got to experience such rich diversity even all over Indonesia and within my community and build those relationships that they understand what American culture is like, and I understood a little bit more what their culture is.
All right, but I need a postcard from you.
A postcard?
So postcard being like, tell me a story that you're going to take with you when you think about that trip.
Yes, I have one. Just the meaningfulness of small conversations, and we interact all the time, and it's like one person's like, get involved. I helped out with a English-speaking conversation group at a local university that I was invited to. One of the professors came up to me and was like, I'm really interested in agriculture. I'm looking for a PhD program. And I was like, from Iowa, we have agriculture. I don't know too much, but I went to Iowa State and they have an ag program. Comes back a couple of weeks later. They have one of really good programs for it. And then a week later, I applied. A couple months later, I got accepted. A couple months more later, I got a scholarship. And so he's been there just out of a small conversation of like, how can I get involved? Or like, what resources do you know of? So I think that how powerful a simple conversation can be.
Yeah. This whole podcast is just a bunch of simple conversations and me drinking. So what's your story?
You know, that is one of the hardest questions that I get, because it was 2 years of my life. So instead of having stories, I just feel like, you know, that was just my life. And people are often asking me, you know, what's your favorite story? What kind of sums up your experience? And it's definitely a tough question to answer. I don't know. Are we like G-rated on this podcast?
No.
Okay.
NC-17, if not X.
So I did a lot of sex ed as part of my work in the Peace Corps, and I got a lot of the most insightful questions you can think of about sex ed from a lot of my students, because they had no access to sex ed in their school systems, and they live in, where I was in Burkina Faso, most people lived in like one-room homes, communal living style, so they often saw members of their family having sex and didn't really know it was happening. So the questions I would get about like, what's happening when like two people are naked and they're like, the woman is in front and the man is in back, and like, what's going in where, and like being able to explain to them like what's actually happening and like how that can result in pregnancy and you know, what is a safe sexual relationship and what is an unsafe sexual relationship was something I never in a million years thought I would be doing, and something that I think has really translated well into my PT practice of just being able to, like, engage in an awkward conversation with anybody. Realizing how, like, that knowledge that I took for granted for most of my life is so important to people, and being able to function within their families and their communities.
That's cool.
It's really powerful.
I like that. Yeah, we talk about that a lot. Education is something with PTs, we say, you know, we take for granted how powerful what we can actually provide is. And that's a great example of it. All right, so every episode we record is a pint. Before we're done with pints, we do shots. So parting shots of wisdom.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum, Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at OptumFellowship.com.
What's something you'd want to leave the audience with in terms of a parting shot of wisdom about global health? Christina's going to go first.
Yeah, I can tell
she's got a good one.
Being in this room, in this reception today, there is so much passion for global health, and I think so many people are looking for ways to get involved, and my shot of wisdom would be, there's no wrong way to get involved. Find the way that you feel most compelled to serve the area of the world, whether it's in your own city or whether it's in Burkina Faso or Indonesia, that you feel like your skills are going to be most valuable, and just go for it. You'll definitely make mistakes. You'll definitely say things in your local language that you find out later are, like, totally offensive. Like, for example, in my country, the word for husband and AIDS were almost the same.
Ooh,
and I repeatedly called my husband my AIDS.
That's not good.
But you know what? I made it. And so, like, just go for it and do your best and find your passion and go for it.
I like it. All right, Kelsey, you've had some time to think. What do you got for it? Parting shot.
So I think that we think of global health as just being somewhere abroad, and Christina started to allude to it, but we serve such a diverse population here in the U.S., depending on the region. Like Texas, I'm sure you'd see a different patient population than you do in Minnesota, in Boston. And so I think taking those pieces of things that you learn abroad if you are doing a service trip, or things that you know about being respectful of other cultures, and taking that and translating it to how you treat your patients here at home. That's something I think everyone could benefit from.
I like it very much. Kelsey Miller, Christina Lee, appreciate you guys taking some time out and sharing your global health experience with us. And kudos on you for taking a leadership role as students to put together that manual so other people can benefit from it.
Thank you very much for having us.
We really enjoyed it.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO, Jimmy McKay,
with executive producer Rachel German from the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
And CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
Podcasting, it's a great way to reach a huge audience. We're portable, free to download, and can be heard across the planet. Here on the PT Pintcast, we can paint a picture for your company to help spread your message to physical therapists across the world. With our show, we can put pictures into people's minds. Here, let me show you what I mean. Like if I push this button right here, I can take you back to the Jurassic era when T-Rex roamed the earth. And when I click on this,
I'm behind the wheel of a race car, driving fast and turning left. Shake it big, boys.
We paint pictures with sound and can paint a picture of your company on our show that'll leave an impression. To have us paint for you and spread your message to PTs across the world, contact us online at ptpintcast.com. Let's see what this button does.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.